All right, so let's get started. We're holding on Pei Zion Omud Beis by the Mishnah. So we're continuing on topics involving drawing water on Shabbos and how it relates to Erev Chatzeres. The previous Mishnah we had about wells. We had about a water channel that went between two chatzeres and what you need to do in order to what you need to be able to do in order to draw water from it. Now we're going to talk about where your porch overhangs the water, which we've talked about this. We've talked about various angles on this before. So the Gemara on it will be relatively short, only one amud, and then we have another topic, or it's still on the topic of water, but yeah. So the Mishnah says, "Gzuzter shila milam in amayim." If you have a porch that hangs out above the water, ein memalin hemene b'Shabbos, you can't fill up from that porch on Shabbos. Now, normally, what you would do is you would drill a hole, you'd cut out a hole in the floor of the porch, and then you'd lower down a bucket through that hole into the lake or sea or whatever it is that your porch overlooks, and then you'd pull it back up. So on Shabbos, in order to do that, you can't do that. Elim kein osol mechitza gvoya asaret vachim. Unless you made for it a mechitza 10 tefachim tall, bein milamayla, bein milamata, whether above or below. Now, Rashi and Tosfos both say that above and below respectively means above the floor of the gzuztara. You would put up mechitzas there surrounding the hole that are at least 10 tefachim tall. They also have to, we talked about yesterday, they have to enclose an area at least 4 by 4, at least 4 by 4 tefachim. So even if the hole is narrower than that, then you need to have some area around the hole that's also between the mechitzas. That would be lamayla. Lamata then would be the other way around, that the mechitza begins from the underside of the gzuztara and extends down 10 tefachim. So even though it's a mechitza tluya, it's a hanging mechitza, it's no problem. We've learned before, kal hu shei kelu chachamim amayim. The chachamim are makel when it comes to the use of drawing water on Shabbos. There is also the point, actually, Tosfos discusses previously that we have a concept the Gemara mentions elsewhere, b'kiyas dogim loshma b'kiya. The fact that fish swim under the surface of the water is not enough to break the mechitza. Like this, we would say if it was on land and you have it's a mechitza tluya, it's a hanging mechitza, and land animals like goats are able to get underneath it, then it's no good, which is why mechitza on land has to be within 3 tefachim of the ground to prevent that. But in this case over here, even though fish are swimming underneath it, then it's not a problem. The Alter Rebbe does mention, though, that what if you have, let's say the porch sticks out over a shallow area of the water, and people also walk through that shallow area. So then actually what you have is people walking through on land, wading through that shallow area, would cancel the mechitza. So if you happen to have that people are walking underneath your mechitza from your gzuztara, then you would indeed have a problem. Anyway, but our Mishnah is talking about, so our Mishnah is telling us that you can have this mechitza above or below. There are a couple of the Rishonim, the Rashba and a couple of others, who say that actually Lamaila and Lamata over here is more similar to, in particular, their problem with it is if Lamaila means above the porch. We learned before that the mechitzas have to be made for the purpose of Shabbos, for the purpose of drawing the water in order to be a heker. Here, if you just have walls around the top of your porch, how is that a heker? Everybody has walls around the top of their porch. So therefore, they prefer to explain that lamaila and lamata mean like we talked about a few days ago in connection with the burr, where it means closer to the surface of the water or further away from it. So then, so lamata might be okay. Lamata would be directly underneath the they would say lamaila means directly underneath the porch, what Rashi and Tosfos are calling lamata, and extending down for 10 tefachim. Lamata then would be where you have it starts down closer to the water. Let's say along the wall. So let's say you have your wall is right next to the water. Let's say like we said yesterday, like in Venice or wherever. And then you build the mechitza 10 tefachim up from the surface of the water along the surface of the wall and along the side of the wall, and it goes and it ends far below your gzuzter. That's how the Rashba and I think also the Ritva explain it. Most of the Rishonim and the Poskim accept Rashi and Tosfos's definition. Anyway, so then once you have that, then it's a hecker, and then you're allowed to draw your water on Shabbos.
One question. What happens if you have boats or little, gondolas coming underneath?
Ah, so then according to what the Alter Rebbe is saying, you would have a problem. So then you would have to make sure that your mechitza is in an area where the gondoliers don't go. I mean, the truth is, I don't know. The Alter Rebbe mentions the case where people are wading through or walking through. If people are going in boats, maybe it's different. I don't know. I guess you'd have to have that the actual place where people get on and off the gondolas wouldn't be under your mechitza in order to satisfy the Alter Rebbe's condition. But as far as if the gondolas themselves are going, I don't know, actually. It seems that maybe yes, because the Alter Rebbe makes the distinction that dogim go under the water, and therefore they're not really visible, as opposed to people don't. Well, in that case, the gondolas also go above the water. I don't know. Anyway, continues the mission of v'chein shtei gzuztrois. Similarly, when you have two porches. A couple of dafim earlier, when we learned about this case, Rashi actually takes out over there the word v'chein, because the second part of the Mishnah is not really similar to the first one. It's a different din in this connection. On the other hand, Tosfos brings over there that you could transfer it. Anyway, v'chein shtei gzuztrois zula ma'ila mizu. Similarly, if you have two porches, one higher than the other. Osulo, which, as we learned the other day, doesn't mean they're directly one above the other. It means one is higher up on the wall than the other. And we said that they are within four tefachim of each other horizontally, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, as we're going to learn again in the Gemara over here. Then osulo oyonav loy osulo tachtoina, if they made a mechitza for the higher one and not for the lower one, shtei and asuris, both of them are going to be also to draw water. If they go through the top one, unless they make an Eruv, because then what you have is you have the situation that we talked about before, where both of them are using it. One is using it directly through Shilshul, through dropping the bucket through. The other one is using it through Zrika and Shilshul by throwing it over from their porch to the other porch and then dropping it through. And according to Rav, that would make him, according to Rav, that's enough to make them usur one to the other. We discussed a few days ago that Shmuel could understand that we're talking about that there are actually stairs between one porch and the other, so they're actually going up to fill over there. So it's not that they're throwing, but actually that they're both going up and then they're both doing shilshul. We had a bias explanation that we're talking about they're within 10 tefachim of height one another to one another, so it's not really considered zrika. So the Gemara starts off. Masnissin deloika Chananya ben Akavya. Our Mishnah is not like the opinion of Chananya ben Akavya. The Tanya, as we learned in a Braisa, we learned it yesterday. Chananya ben Akavya oimer gzuzdera sheyesh b'dalat amos al dalat amos. If you have a porch, or actually we said there, it wasn't really a porch. It was more like a freestanding platform in the water, which is 4x4 amos. Chokik b'dalat al dalat. You can carve out, you cut out in the middle of it a hole 4x4 tefachim, umamale, and then you're allowed to fill up, because as we said yesterday, you then take the remaining 10 tefachim on each side of the hole and consider as though they were bent downward to form the walls of the mechitza, kuf v'gud, we called it, which means bend and extend downward. So now the point is, So Chananya ben Akavya says you can do that, but our Mishnah clearly is saying that not. You have to actually make a mechitza, not just that you have an imaginary mechitza that would be made by folding and drawing down. This we also learned yesterday, that Rabbi Yechanan says the name of Rabbi Yosi ben Zimra. Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya is only matter el b'yama shel Tveria, only when it comes to the Kinneret. Because the Kinneret has high banks, the water, it doesn't just slope smoothly into the water, it had banks around it. And it has cities and Carpathus surrounding it. So in that sense, even though La Halacha, it is considered a Carmelis, it's somewhat different than, it's different enough than a regular Carmelis that Rav Chananya ben Akavya holds, that therefore we can be makel with this kuf for good business. Avo b'sham meimus loy, but even he would agree it doesn't apply to other bodies of water. Now, our Mishnah didn't make that distinction. Our Mishnah just said generically that any body of water that you exhausted is over, you need a mechitza, implying not like Rav Chanani ben Akavya. So the Gemara continues, Tana Rabbanan, speaking of this, Gimel Dvarim Hitter Rav Chanani ben Akavya La'anshe Tveria. Rav Chanani ben Akavya was matter three things for the people of Tveria. Number one, Memalim Mayim Exuster of a Shabbos, what we just said. Number two, even though the Exuster doesn't have a Mechitza, because as we said, we can imagine as though the porch, as though the Exuster was bent to form a Mechitza. Number two, Vatomnin Va'otza. Number two, they can bury their peiris in Otza, which are these stems and which are the leftover stems of bean plants. We'll see in a second what the implication of that is. And number three, when we stop in Ba'aluntis, number three, that they're allowed to dry themselves off with towels on Shabbos. So what's going on over here? We just said that he allowed them to draw water from the Kinneret through their porches, as long as their porches are 4x4 porches, or actually we said platforms or whatever, are the size that are large enough for that purpose. V'tomnin ba'otza, because kuf for good. V'tomnin ba'otza maihi. What's this business about hiding fruit, about burying fruit in otza, in the stems of bean plants? So like this, this has to do with the dinim of hechshel kabel tuma. Now we know there's a general rule that when it comes, we know that food has to become wet with one of the shiva mashkim in order to be able to be mekabel tuma. We also know from many different places in Shas that the wetness has to get on the fruit l'rotzin. If you didn't want the fruit to get wet, even though it actually did, then it's not l'rotzin. And therefore, the fruit is still not mochshel lekabel tuma. We learn that because the expression for the pasuk is v'chi yutan mayim al zera, if water is placed on a seed. And the Gemara explains that in Bava Metzia that we read it yutan, but it's written without the vav in the Torah, so it could be read yitain, which means he will put. Then it implies that even if it was put by itself, let's say for example dew fell on it, it has to be that he would have wanted it, that it would have been the kind of thing that he would put it ki yitain. So therefore, throughout Shas, when we talk about whether a certain kind of wetness is machshir peiros lekabel tuma, we use the expression ki yutan in it. So what we have is over here like this, maihi. So what are we talking about? So Tanya, we learn in a braisa, hishkim lahavi psoilas. If a person woke up early in the morning to get the psoilas of the grain from the field, so he already harvested the field, now he goes out early in the morning to collect the straw or whatever that's left because he wants to use that to bury his peiros in and insulate them. Now, why did he get up early for that purpose? Im b'shvil sheyesh olav tal, if he davka went out early in the morning because there's still dew on these stalks, showing therefore that he wants that dew, he figures it'll help keep the fruit fresher when he buries the fruit in it. So then the rule of ki yutan applies, and now those peiros, when he buries them in that straw, are mochshel lekabel tuma, because he wanted that wetness that was on the straw to go go onto the fruit and help keep them fresh. But if he did it because he doesn't want to lose time from work, so he has to go to work, let's say, later on in the morning, he's going to go daven and then he's going to go to work. So now he wakes up extra early in order to be able to go gather the straw so it doesn't interfere with his work day. Then there's no kiyotan. Then the wetness that goes on the peiros is not machshir them lekabel tuma, because he didn't demonstrate that he wants that he's interested in that wetness on the food. Now, stam anche Tveria, kmichla yabotam malachte dummy. The regular people of Tveria were bale malacha, they were workers, so therefore it's like not wanting to be mevatel from their malacha. So therefore, Rav Chanani ben Akavya told them, based on this braisa, that okay, when you guys go early in the morning to the field to gather that straw, those stalks, whatever, from the bean plants, and you use it to preserve your food in, there won't be an issue of ki yotan, your fruit will not yet be mochshel lekabel tuma. So therefore, so that applies specifically to places like Tveria, where they're all Bali Malacha. There are a couple of other explanations in it. The Rashba explains that actually what we mean when what do we mean kimishala yiftu b'malach the dummy? The reason is because they don't want to be batal from the malacha. So he explains actually that what it is the Tveria is a little bit different than other places, not so much because the people are workers. In many places they're workers, but because Tveria is very humid as it is. Tveria is by the shore of the Kinneret. It's like 600 feet below sea level. So as it is, it's very humid. As it is, their peiros are going to be very moist anyway. And if they bury them in straw that's wet, then adrama, it's going to be bad for them. It can make the fruit spoil. So therefore, we can be sure that in a place like Tveria, they're not doing it for the sake of having more wetness on the fruit. We can be sure that the only reason they're doing it is because they have to get up early in the morning and go to work, and otherwise they would have just gathered it later in the day. So therefore, again, the point is not mokshon lechabal truma. Rabbi Hananel has a whole different explanation over here that it has to do with not hatmana as far as the dinim of mukhshul kabal tuma, but hatmana as far as the dinim of Shabbos. We learned in Masechta Shabbos that there were certain things you allowed to insulate. You can insulate a pot of food before Shabbos. It's called atmana. Like nowadays, for example, you'd wrap it in a towel. In those times, they used different kinds of things to preserve the heat of the pot, so that you have hot food. So you have hot food later on Friday night or Shabbos morning. So the question was, now the Mishnah says over there you can use straw. The question was, could you use and the Mishnah says over there that you can't use straw if it's still fresh. So they didn't know, does the same thing apply to otza, which is the straw left over from bean plants, or does that only apply to straw from grain? And then he tells them that no, the straw from bean plants is a different, otza is a different kind of thing. You can use it even if it's moist. It's not moist if hevel. Okay. The third din that Rav Chanan ben Akavya said that he's matur for the people of Tveria, umistapkin ba'luntis ma'hi, what's this part about being able to dry yourself with a towel on Shabbos? So Tanya, we learn in a braisa, mistapik adam ba'luntis, a person is allowed to dry himself off with a towel on Shabbos, on Yom Tov or on Shabbos, if he bathed in cold water. Now, you're not allowed to bathe in hot water on Shabbos, as we learned in Masechta Shabbos. But so except we said in Chametz Tveria, there you can bathe in them even though they're hot. But so afterwards, after you bathe, you can dry yourself with a towel. Umanicha b'chaloin. Afterwards, you can put it in a cubby. A chaloin means a window, but in Gemara terminology, a lot of times it means more like a cubby, like you have like a cubby or a locker, such as you have in bathhouses. So you're allowed to put it there afterwards. Now, really, you shouldn't be allowed to, because you might have the problem. You might squeeze out the towel, but the Chachamim didn't do that. We learned in Shabbos, because if the Chachamim answered that, then you wouldn't bathe on Shabbos b'chlal. And since there are certain limited cases where you're allowed to bathe on Shabbos, then the Chachamim had to be matur you to dry yourself with a towel. V'loyim serena l'ula yorin. However, you cannot give that to the bathhouse attendants, because they are suspect about that kind of thing, about squeezing it out, because they may want to squeeze out the towel and then use it for the next person. When we learned this in Shabbos, we learned there was a different explanation that one of the Rishonim gives, that Oisei Dover means Nus, that the bathhouse attendants sometimes are into that, and they may use the towel afterwards to wipe up. Anyway, Reb Shimon, says you're even allowed to bring the towel home. And again, we don't have a chashash that you might forget and squeeze it out. Instead of Hanani ben Akavya tells the people of Tveria that they're allowed to do that. They're allowed to dry themselves with towels on Shabbos. Now, on the face of it, the first two, what we said, have to do specifically with circumstances in Tveria. This third one about the towels doesn't seem to be specific to Tveria. But maybe the idea is because only in Tveria do they have the hot springs, and therefore they're much more likely to be bathing on Shabbos. In other places where you're only allowed to bathe in cold water, how often are people going to be doing that on Shabbos? Okay. Anyway, getting back now to the matter of the gzuzdra and drawing water on Shabbos. So again, so to recap, we said according to everybody, with most bodies of water, you need a mechitza in connection with your gzuzdra, either directly above or directly below it, according to Rashi, or directly below it, or directly above it, or directly above the surface of the water, according to the Rashba. And then Rav Chananim and Akavya says that an exception for that is the Kinneret, where you don't need that. Okay, so Omer Rav Bar Avuna, Loishanu El Malis. Now, all of this is only talking about as far as filling water, to send down a bucket on a rope through the hole and fill up water. Aval lishpoich osu. But he says if you're talking about pouring out water that you use the same gzustara. When you have let's say dirty water that you finished using to wash your floors or whatever, so you spill it out, that you wouldn't be allowed to do. That he says osu. Why? Because when you pour it out, what's going to happen? It's going to go down to the river or whatever. The current is going to carry it away. It's going to be outside your mechitzas. It's one thing, in other words, you're putting down your bucket and drawing water. It's in a straight line down from where you're standing. Therefore, you're not going outside your mechitza. And you're going outside it vertically, of course, but that's fine because we say that the mechitza tloya by water is mutter. We consider it as though it went all the way down to the water. So your bucket is still inside it. But when you pour out water, inevitably that water is going to flow outside the mechitza. And therefore that's no good. In other words, because then it comes out, what you're doing is you're pouring from Meshusa Yachid into Carmelis. The whole lake over there, or river or whatever, is Carmelis. Maskiflar Rav Shizbi, but Rav Shizbi asks on that, what's the difference between this and an uka? Now, in the next Mishnah, at the bottom of the Amud, we're going to learn about, you have a case where you have a chotzer where you pour out your dirty water on Shabbos, let's say your water from Negovasa or whatever. So the Mishnah says that if the chotzer is too small, as we're going to learn, then you have to make an uka in the chotzer. An uka is a hole in the ground, a hole like a mini tub sort of in the ground. The idea being, the Rabbeinu Chananel over there explains that the word uka is similar to the word chukah. Ches and an ayin are both, at least among Sfardim, guttural sounds. They're both in the back of the throat. So sometimes you have a ches and an ayin interchange. So therefore, it's like the word chukah, like you're digging out, Meloshon chakika, you're digging out a hole in the ground. The point is, you have this hole over there. The water that you're pouring out is going to go into that hole. Eventually, of course, the hole is going to get filled up and the water is going to flow out from there into Rishus Rabim. But we still say that if you make this uka and it holds at least two saw, as we're going to learn in the next Mishnah and in the Gemara on it, then you're allowed to pour water into it on Shabbos. Now think about it. What happens then? Again, what happens when the uka gets full? The water flows out and goes into Rishus Rabim. So, and yet we're saying that's mutter because you're not pouring directly over there. So what's the difference over here? You're not pouring directly into Carmelis either. The answer is hani taimi v'hani like taimi. The difference is in the case of the uka, the water could finish off before it ever gets to Rosh Hashanah. It could get absorbed into the ground. So in fact, when you pour the water into your chotzer and then it goes into the uka, your preference would actually be that it'll just get absorbed in the ground over there. If then it doesn't get absorbed because the uka is too full or because the ground is too saturated and therefore it flows out into Rishus Rabim, fine, you didn't mean that. You didn't mean to do that anyway. And look, I mean, even in that case, if you had poured directly and it went out to Rishus Rabim, you know, we learned in Masechta Shabbos, Melechas Machsheves Osra Torah, it's only also Daraisa if you intended to do it and it happened, and here you didn't intend. So therefore, so the maximum you could have is an Issur D'Rabbanan, and here with a good chance that it'll first get absorbed into the ground, then you don't even have that. But over here, you know, of course, that the water is going, that any water that you pour out through this hole in the gzustara is going to flow into the rest of the river or lake or whatever. And therefore, therefore it would be osir it's called koichoi b'karmelis. It's called that you're not directly pouring into karmelis, but you're pouring and the result of your koyach is it's going into karmelis. And therefore, Rabbi Bar Rav Huna is saying you can't do that. Okay, so that would be the difference. Ikadamri, another version of it goes the other way around. Amar Rav Bar Rav Huna, loy tema l'malasu d'shori lishbei chaser. The second version is exactly the other way around. Rav Bar Rav Huna says, don't think that when the Mishnah is telling us that you can fill up water through the hole in the gzustara, through the mechitza, that you can only fill up lishbei chaser, and you would think that to pour it out is also. Ela lishbech nami shori. Note, the fact is, Rabbi Bar Rav Huna tells us, even to pour out water would be mutter. It's going to go out into Carmelis, doesn't matter because you don't really care for it to go out. Practically speaking, it will, but you don't care about whether that's going to happen. And after all, it's all the economists we're talking about over here, as opposed to the case. So the question becomes then, Omer of Shizbi Pshita Hainu Uka. Okay, so if Shizbi says, of course, that would be exactly the same thing as the case of the Uka in the next Mishnah. Again, the same way over there is you're allowed to pour water into your chotzer, even though you know there's a good chance it's going to flow out of the Uka into Rosh Hashanah. The same thing over here, you can pour out water through the hole in your Gzuster, even though there's a good chance that it's going to flow into Karmelis. The answer is it's still a chiddush. Ma'u detema hani taimi v'hani lo taimi. You would think that the difference is in the case of the ukka, they could get absorbed in the ground. Here, necessarily, they're not going to. Kamash malon. Therefore, the chiddush is that. We're not concerned about that. And the point is that because on the side of it here, it brings from Rabbeinu Nissim that he has a girsa in the Gemara, Shmamina koichi b'rashuyas legozru. So we see from that, the Chachamim didn't make a gzera of koichi when it involves something going into Karmelis. So he's pouring out. When the moment he pours out, it goes through his mechitzis. The fact that afterwards, when it lands in the water, it's going to start flowing and go out of his mechitzis, that's not our concern. In fact, actually, with the ukka, it's the other way around. The reason why you need the ukka, Rashi says, is because, after all, we're going to learn in the next Mishnah, we're talking about a small chotzer. You don't really want your chotzer to be full of dirty water, so you would like it to go out to Rosh Hashanah in a way. So as long as you have the ukka there, where at least there's a reasonable chance that it'll get absorbed in the ground first, then fine. But if you don't even do that, then we would say over there you can't do it, because there you do care to have it go out of your chotzer, whereas over here you don't care whether it remains in the water underneath you or not. Okay. And that's the halacha, therefore. So you're allowed to, when you have this gzustara with the hole in it, you're allowed to draw water from it. You're also allowed to pour out your used water through it. Then we said in the Mishnah of Achen Shtei Gzusterois Zuvachola, we had the case in the Mishnah where there were the two porches, one higher on the wall than the other, but we said they're not directly one above the other, they're offset a bit. So Omer of Huna Omer Rav. So this we learned previously in the sugya in the sugya about lazeb kosha about the case where two different rishuyas are having difficulty using the thing, and also in connection with the thing about whether you're oiser derech avir, whether if you're using something only by having to stick out your hand or whatever horizontally, whether that creates an iser. So we said this over there. So the Gemara says Omer of Huna Omer Rav. This is only talking about when the two porches are close to each other. But if they're further apart, then if the higher one has a mechitza and the lower one doesn't, then the higher one is still allowed to draw their water with it, because since they're far apart, then the Gemara says, "V'Rav l'taimei, Rav is going according to his shita." The Amar Rav, "Ein adam oisur achabeira derech avir." As we said before, that Rav said that one person cannot ask to the other one where it's derech avir, where there's horizontal movement involved, horizontal movement of four tefachim or more. Here there is, because what you have is the people on the lower porch have to throw their bucket a distance of four tefachim or more horizontally, and then vertically to drop it down through the hole. And Rav says that's not enough for them to aser the other porch. Therefore, the other porch, the higher porch, is allowed to draw water through their mechitza, and the lower ones, if they want to do that, are going to have to make a mechitza of their own. Rashi mentions over here that his Rebbeim understood smucha over here in our Gemara to mean less than 10 tefachim apart. However, Rashi has a bunch of problems with that. One thing is the word mufleges in the Gemara always implies a horizontal distance, not a vertical one. Plus, also we had previously in the sugya about this, we talked about where one is doing shulshul and one is doing zrika, we gave over there the answer that if they're within 10 tefachim of each other, if smucha and muflegas over here mean within 10 tefachim vertically, then Abai is not telling us anything that we didn't already know. So it has to be, Rashi says, that we're talking about that it means separated horizontally. So one is towards the right side of the wall and the other one is towards the left side of the wall. And then the distance between the edge of one and the edge of the other is less than four tefachim or more than four tefachim, respectively. Okay. The Gemara says, Amar Rabba Amar Abchia. V'Rab Yosef Amar Rab Oshia. So both Rabba and Rab Yosef are going to say the following din. Rabba says it in the name of Rab Chia, Rab Yosef says it in the name of Rab Oshia. Yesh Gezel B'Shabbos. There is a concept of Gezel on Shabbos. V'churva Machzul Abaylim, and a ruined house gets given back to the owners. Now, it sounds like what we mean is at this point. Yesh Gezel B'Shabbos, it sounds like, it means like this. Suppose that a person has, next to his house, he has a churva, he has a ruined house, an abandoned ruined house next to his own house. Now that person, now let's say it belongs to somebody else. So you have Reuven has the house, Shimon owns the churva. Shimon doesn't regularly use that churva during the week. So it sounds like we're saying Yesh Gezel B'Shabbos. Now what happens during the week, very often, Reuven will use that churva as a place, for example, to pour out his dirty water or whatever. B'pashtus Shimon is not going to object because it's an example of one of these things called Zen Nana B'Zelecha. So Reuven gains, Shimon's not losing out by Reuven pouring things like that in there. So now it sounds like we're saying Yesh Gezel B'Shabbos. It sounds like we're saying, now it is to a certain extent Gezel because he after all didn't ask permission, but it sounds like we're saying that Reuven is allowed to do the same thing on Shabbos. And therefore, Yesh Gezel would mean the same way. What happens when a person, usually when a person steals something, La Halacha, generally speaking, we consider the object that he stole becomes in his Rishus. He has to pay back for it, but he usually doesn't have to give back the original object. And it is considered in his rishus for many purposes, including, for example, that if it gets lost from him or stolen from him, then he's chayav b'achri yosei, etc. So it sounds like we're saying the same thing applies over here. The dinim of gezel apply in this connection on Shabbos. That we say once he took over the schurva and is regularly using it on weekdays, then he's allowed to do that on Shabbos as well. But then we said v'churva machzul labaylim, he returns the churva to the owner, which makes it sound that no, it makes it sound like no, Issur Shabbos requires that it gets returned to the owner and therefore that he has to return and he can't use it. So what do we mean? So hog gufa kasha. So we have a contradiction within the statement. Amrit yesh gezel b'Shabbos. You're saying there is gezel in Shabbos, which sounds like it means, and again, like we said, if he takes it over and is using it during the week, then that is effective on Shabbos, and he's allowed to continue using it on Shabbos. Alma kanya. So you see that his gezel, his illegal use of it, is koined for him. V'churva machzul abaylim. But then we said that the churva automatically gets returned to the owner on Shabbos. Alma loikanya. So you see that his use of it up until now is not koinet. So what is it? So the answer is hochikama. What Rabba and Rabbi Yosef are saying respectively in the name of Rabbi Chia and Rabbi Oshia is yesh din gezel b'Shabbos. The din of gezel applies on Shabbos, meaning the din of hashavas gzela, the din that if you stole something, you have a mitzvah to return it, that applies also on Shabbos. Ketzad dechurva machzul abaylim. How is that? Namely, that if you have the churva next to your house and you've been regularly using it during the week without asking Shimon's permission, then on Shabbos it automatically gets returned to Shimon, and you are not allowed to throw anything from your house into it on Shabbos unless you make an eruv with him. So when can you, if you make an eruv with him? If you're asking permission, if it's not gezel. If you use it the whole week, but you still have to, if you want to be able to do that on Shabbos, you have to get permission from him. Now, we did learn the other day, there are exceptions to that. We had, for example, the other day, the case of a person's roof, which was within 10 tfachim of Rishus Rabim. We had, according to Rashi, there's a little porch over there, according to Tosfos, there isn't. And we said that people regularly put their hats and scarves on it. So if he made a ladder, then he's mutter to carry to it. If not, then not. The reason is because of the very fact that he didn't make if he doesn't make a ladder, that itself demonstrates that he doesn't mind the B'nai Rishus Rabim using it to put down their hats and scarves, and therefore he has rishus over it, and they have rishus over it, and therefore he can't carry to it. Unless he makes the ladder, and that demonstrates that he wants to be able to consider the roof his exclusive property. So now, when the other people are using it, then it's considered gezel, and we're saying en gezel b'Shabbos. So therefore, it still remains his rishus as far as that he's allowed to carry it on Shabbos. Which means, in other words, in effect, the people. Technically, it means they shouldn't. But even if practically speaking, they are, it doesn't take away from his rishus on it. Omar Rabba Umar Svinin Ashmaitin. Now, Rabba says, when we learned this, we pointed out there seems to be a contradiction to our statement based on the Mishnah. We said, we have the case of the two porches, one higher up on the wall than the other. And we said the upper people made a mechitza, the lower people did not. And we said the lower people are still asking the upper people to fill up through theirs. Isn't that a case of Gezel? The Amat Yesh Din Gezel B'Shabbos Amaya Surtis. What business do the people from the lower Gzustera have going and then drawing water through the hole in the upper Gzustera in the first place? It's not the upper Gzustera. It's their private property. They built the Mechitza. So the other people are using it as Gezel. Why should they be asking? So you see that Gezel doesn't apply on Shabbos, it seems. The answer is Amar of Sheshes Hach Maya Skinen Gungancha also Mechitza B'Shutfus. The answer is that our Mishnah is talking about where the lower Gzuster and the upper one jointly paid to have the Mechitza built. So therefore, they do have an ownership of it. So then the question is Hachi also Latachtona Nami. Then in that case. So what is the Mishnah telling us? The higher one has a Mechitza, the lower one does not. But nevertheless, the lower one assers the upper one because we said they're throwing their bucket up and then lowering it down, and that's assering it for them. Or according to Shmuel, we said there are steps between them, whatever. The point is that now the implication is that if the people on bottom made themselves a mechitza as well, then everything would be good. But why? If they participated in building the mechitza for the top one, how does their building mechitza for their bottom porch help the top one? You still have their share in the top one. The answer is given to also the tachtoina, because once they made a mechitza for the bottom porch, goli galadaita, then in effect they showed with that a guli das. In effect, the lower porch is like almost speaking to the top porch and saying, I have now a gilui das, that I don't want to be together with you anymore. Yes, we had our partnership in building the top mechitza, but now we built a mechitza of our own. Now we're breaking the partnership. Fine, we're not going to ask you to reimburse us our costs for building the top one, but from now on, we're going to use our bottom one. So now they're getting water from the bottom one, because now the bottom one has a mechitza of their own. They made their own mechitza, their own tunnel thing. No, it's not so obvious, because we would have thought that they still have the partnership with the top one still exists, because they did join in together with building with them, and therefore the top one should still be also, because now the bottom people could do both. They could either go down through their hole in their mechitza, or they could be going around through the top one. So you would think, but it was saying that no, the very fact that they built the bottom one shows that they don't intend, that shows that they intend to break their partnership with the top one, and therefore the top one is now mutter. No, but the fact that you've been there, but it's different when you're making an Eruv, which just involves collecting the food. There, it's a Shabbos by Shabbos thing. Here, you're building a mechitza. You're showing that from now on, yeah. Okay. Mishnah says. Okay, so it showed at the time they wanted a shutfus. Yeah, okay. Mishnah says, chotzer shipchose me'arba amas. If you have a chotzer which is less than 4 amas in size, and we're going to see in the Gemara that it means 4 by 4, but we're going to discuss. Does it mean that it has to be at least 4 amas in each dimension, or is it enough that it's 16 square amas? We'll see about that in the Gemara. Anyway. You're not allowed to pour out your used water into that chotzer on Shabbos, because, as we'll see in the Gemara, what happens is you'd be pouring it into the chotzer, and then from there it would be flowing out into the Rosh Hashanah. You can't do that. You have to make in the chotzer. You have to dig out an uka, as we said, like a hole in the ground, a cavity in the ground, which will hold at least 2 saw of water from the hole downward. Now, what hole? So there's a couple of different explanations among the Rishonim. One of them is you have at the top of the ukkah, or someplace along the side of the ukkah, you have a hole for the water to be able to drain out to the Shadabim. So from that hole and up, it's not holding water, because then it's draining out. So it has to be below that hole, below that drain hole, which is on the side of it. It's able to hold 2 saw. Another possibility that's Rabbeinu Yohanesen says that. The Rashba says differently, that you have the hole means the part that's covered, you cover it with a cover because you don't want people to fall in there or whatever. So it has to be able to hold 2 saw below the cover. Two sa's, we'll see in the Gemara, the reason is because the average person uses two sa of wastewater per day. It's not koicha, exactly. That's the point. Once you, as we said before in the Gemara, once you have that ukka over there, then when you're pouring out the water, it's not necessarily going directly into the shasarabim. It's first going into the ukka. It may well get absorbed into the ground. And so also for that reason, if the chatzah, so we'll see in the Gemara also, if the chatzah is more than 4x4, then we'll see why you don't need an ukka in that case. But here we're talking about where the chatzah is less than 4x4. So you need an ukka. Machzekas sasayimin anekev lamata. Bein mi b'chutz, bein mi b'fnim, and that works whether the ukka is outside the chatzer at the edge of a shasar abim or inside the chatzer. So here you have some. So you can see over here. Here they built the ukka inside their chatzer. Here they built it outside the chatzer. So you have, in other words, they're pouring the water in their chatzer, and it goes underground under the wall of their chatzer out into this ukka. That's also fine. The difference is, if the ukka is outside your chatzu in Rosh Hashanah, then you have to cover it up, like you have over here, where they covered it up with boards. So the vort is like this. So first of all, so there's mifnim, there's machutz. The point is that if it's bachutz, so what do you accomplish by covering it up? There's a couple of different explanations. First of all, there's one explanation that has nothing to do with Hilchos Shabbos, just the fact that you can't make a hole in Rosh Hashanah Abim, people are going to fall into it. But most of the Ramah brings that, for example. But most of the Mefarshim explain it has to do with Hilchos Shabbos. One idea is that there's chashad involved, that otherwise people are going to suspect that he's pouring directly into Rosh Hashanah Abim. So when it's covered up, they can't see it, so therefore it's fine. The other possibility is, once it's covered up, what you accomplish is like this ukka has to have a certain minimum depth, so it's not considered part of a shasarabim. But if you don't have it covered up, what happens eventually, as it tends to do, it gets filled up with dirt and whatever, it may end up being too close to the surface of a shasarabim, and then it is actually a shasarabim. When you cover it up, though, what you accomplish is, even if it gets filled up with dirt, it's considered choyre b'shasayachid. It's considered a hole that opens out to shasayachid. We talked yesterday about choyre b'shasarabim, choyre karmelis. So by the same token, you have an area over here, even though physically it's located under shasarabim, but it opens into shasayachid, and it has no opening into Rosh Hashanah Abim because it's covered up. So therefore, you're allowed to pour the water and it goes into there and you're fine, even if it ends up getting shallower because dirt builds up in it. So outside, you would need... Yeah. No, so he's pouring water into his chatzer, into his small chatzer, and then it goes into this ukka, which is directly outside the chatzer. Yeah. And that works. So Elisha machutz tzorich likmer. So if it's outside, he needs to put a covering over it. Maybe fnim ain't tzorich likmer. If it's inside his chatzer, he doesn't need to put a covering over it. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer. Here's another din in this connection. Biv shehu komur arba amas b'shoset abim. Suppose now you have a pipe that goes out, so it's similar to the ukka, but an ukka is a hole in the ground where the water will collect and eventually it'll drain out of there. A pipe is, to begin with, it's meant to drain water. So if you have that, it's actually a better, not really a pipe so much, but a channel. So if you have a channel going out from your chatzu into Rosh Hashanah Abim, shu komur arba amas b'Rosh Hashanah Abim, as long as it's covered for the first four Amos and Rosh Hashanabim, Shoifchim L'Seichim Mayim B'Shabbos, then he would be allowed to pour water into it on Shabbos, because then there's a good chance that the water will get absorbed in the first four Amos before it ever goes further. Yeah, but you still don't. Rosh Hashanabim isn't a field. Rosh Hashanabim would be Rosh Hashanabim. Yeah. Okay, so maybe then it would be a problem. But over here, we're talking about if you have a garden or something, maybe. But here we're talking about where there's Rosh Hashanah Abim over there. The point is that within four amos, the two saw of water that you use may well get absorbed in the ground, which actually Tosfos says in that case, it would mean, if we learn it that way, it would mean that the channel has to be at least 4x4 amos, like the chatzer that we were saying. Otherwise, there's not enough room for the water to get absorbed. So it wouldn't just mean four amos in length. It would mean four amos in width as well. Also, no, it doesn't have holes necessarily. No, it's just a channel dug out in the ground. Yeah. Yeah, and but then it could get absorbed. Tosfos also discusses, in that case, it also might, Tosfos then also brings an explanation from the Rashbam that, further on Rashi's explanation, if the idea is because it's going to get absorbed, then it would mean that it would have to be made out of some kind of absorbent material. So if, let's say, it was made out of wood, then it wouldn't work because the water is not going to get absorbed within 4 amas of wood. On the other hand, maybe, for example, if it was a stone floor, it would be fine. Even though stone is not absorbent, it can absorb between the stones. There is, by the way, an interesting discussion about this. How, first of all, you have the question whether the halacha is like, well, let's finish the mission, then we'll talk about this. Okay, so Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says again that as long as it's covered the first 4 amas in Rishus Rabim, then it's mutter. Rashi says the reason is because within those 4 amas, there's a good chance it'll get absorbed. And the Rashbam and Tosfos says that the reason is because of chashad. Again, the same reason why we said before the ukka has to be covered, because otherwise people are going to think you're pouring water into Rishus Rabim. The Chum say no. A biv is different because since the water flows directly through it, so they say, even if you have a roof or a chotzer that's 100 amas long, you're not allowed to pour water at one end directly into this channel, even though the channel is 100 amas long and it could easily get absorbed on the way, because you're pouring directly into the channel. And therefore, his koyach is causing it to go into Rishus Rabim. People are going to think that he's pouring it near the end of there, and they're going to think that he's pouring directly, that he's pouring directly from Rishus Yachid into Rishus Rabim. No, but that's the point. They say it doesn't matter whether it's covered. The fact that the end of it goes out into Rishus Rabim is reason enough to aser it. But what you can do is on Shabbos, you can pour out your used water on the roof, and then the roof is a little bit slanted, so it goes then into the gutter next to the roof. And then the water goes down from there into the channel and goes out, because then you're not doing it directly into there.
So by that token,
what?
Alexander, by that token, we shouldn't use toilets on Shabbos,
Good point. By that token, how can we use plumbing on Shabbos? So that's a good point. That's what I wanted to mention before, but I figured. So okay, so one second. Hold on. The fact is, our pipes do go out under Rosh Hashanah. So you have like this. First of all, there's the question whether the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov or the Chachamim anyway. If we say the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, then as long as it's covered, then you don't really have an issue. But if we say the halacha is like the Chachamim, and many Rishonim do, then what are we doing with it? So one point is we're able to, because first of all, you have the question whether we have a real Rosh Hashanah nowadays. If all we have is a Karmelist, then there's reason to be Mekel. But besides that, also the Chazon Ish actually talks about this in his Chiddushim, and he says the reason is basically because the whole pipe system, the whole plumbing system, he says, is considered a Mokum Ptur. It's not large enough. It's less than 4x4 tefachim. So the whole thing is small enough to be considered a mokum patur, at least until it gets well out of your house. And eventually, you know, you have, eventually as the sewer pipes join together, eventually they become larger and larger. But nevertheless, you still have at least until a certain distance from your house, they're less than 4x4. So it's mokum patur. So you're putting out water through mokum patur, and therefore there's less of an issue with it. It's staying in the pipes underneath Rosh Hashanah, underneath Rosh Hashanah, the pashtus is still, the point is like this, in other words, as long as it's under Rosh Hashanah, maybe there's not an issue no matter the size of the pipe. Eventually, where does it discharge to? But most of them discharge into Carmelis. You don't usually have that a sewage system is going to discharge into Rosh Hashanah. Eventually, it goes into a wastewater treatment plant or whatever, which is a Rosh Hashanah or Carmelis is the case. Maybe it's not Rosh Hashanah, miles away anyway, but that's neither here nor there. But yeah, so therefore, it ends up that there's no problem with it. Continues the Mishnah. So there may be in the country where you have like cesspits or whatever, could be, yeah, maybe there you would have an issue. Okay. Continues the Mishnah. We said at the beginning of the Mishnah that the case we're talking about over here is the chotzer is less than 4 amas in size. So suppose you have the chotzer is less than 4, but in front of it you have an achsadra, which is an area which is closed in on 3 sides and open on the 4th. So that combines for the 4 amas, because there also it's not part of your house, and therefore you don't mind if the water gets absorbed into the ground over there. continues the mission of a chen shtei dutyos zu keneged zu, the same way if you have two upper floors, one opposite the other, and in between them you have a chotzer, miktsosan osu uka, miktsosan lai osu uka, some of the people on one side made themselves an uka, the people on the other side did not. Esha also uka mutarin, the ones who made for themselves an uka are allowed to pour out their water into it on Shabbos. They pour out they pour out onto their diuta. So we don't have a picture over here, unfortunately, but you have to imagine that they're on the second floor. They have like kind of a balcony in front of them, which they use like the mirpesis that we learned about before. On the ground below that mirpesis is their uka. So they pour out their water onto their mirpesis, in front of their house. It goes down from there and ends up in the uka. That's fine. The eschaloi also uka asur. And on the other side, where they didn't make an uka, they're also to do that, to pour out the water onto their porch and have it flow across the chotzer into the uka. So from the porch, it goes into the right. It goes down into the chotzer and into the uka. Right. So no, the mepesis itself is not makom tur. The mepesis itself is rishus yachin. So it's going down. It's going down into the chotzer. From there, it's going out. The chotzer, fine, it's still rishus yachin. But then it's going from there into rishus rabim. So if you have an uka where again you're not directly pouring into the other rishus, then fine. But because fine, but it still doesn't matter. The fact is the chotzer itself is still rishus yachin. No, that was a different case. That was involving a channel. It was two different things. The channel versus an uka, two different dinim.
Right, but you said because
when there's a channel, as Gemara is going to explain, it's a more direct thing. Here it's a more indirect thing, because first it goes into the uka and from there it flows out. With a channel, you can pour. Okay, let's go on. But yeah, the point is on the roof, yes, you can pour and it will go into the channel because you're not doing it directly. But here, the problem is that here, in other words, the people on the other side, on the other diuta, when they pour onto their porch and it's going into the chotzer, there's no uka over there to absorb the water. And the chotzer is less than 4x4 amas. So you still have the same problem that you have less than 4x4 amas and it's flowing directly into the shasadab, and you can't do that. With the channel, at least the channel is long enough that it could get absorbed on the way. And the only problem is people are going to think that you poured directly at the end of your channel and it went directly into Rishas Rabin. So as long as you pour on the roof, then you don't have that problem. Right. Okay, so the Gemara starts off my timer. Why are we saying that the uka has to hold at least two, that why are we saying that the chotzer is less than 4 amas, then you need the uka? Because a person typically uses 2 sa of wastewater every day between negovaser and washing their hands and then rinsing things and whatever. So ba'arba amos. So if the chotzer is at least 4 amos in size, adam roitzel zalfon. Then what the person wants is that the water should make the chotzer wet, because the chotzer is going to be dusty. You want some water over there in order to help lay down the dust, so the dust doesn't get all over things. So therefore, so you want to keep the water in the chotzer, and therefore, if it ends out going into Rosh Hashanah, then that wasn't your machshava. On the other hand, pachas midalad shoifchon. On the other hand, when the chotzer is less than 4 amas in size, it's too small. It's not, the point is, it's not so much that a chotzer like that can be dusty also, but a chotzer less than 4x4 is not a place where you're really going to be using it for much anyway. So you don't care if it's dusty. So therefore, shoifchon. So therefore, you're just going to be pouring out the water in order to get rid of it. So if you made an uka, then it'll be mutter. Eloi also, and if not, then it's going to be also, because then his machshava was that it should go out to Rosh Hashanah, and his machshava is getting accomplished. By the way, the Rambam defines for us the size of a pit that would hold 2 sasayim, that would hold sasayim, is a half an amma by a half an amma by 3/5 of an amma. That would hold that. I mean, it could be, of course, any dimensions you want, but that would be one example of the dimensions that would hold 2 sa. You calculate based on a shiur mikveh, it comes out. A mikveh is 40 sa and it's 3 cubic amas. Here you need 2 sa, so it's 1/20th of that. So yeah. Okay. Reb Zera Amar, Reb Zera gives a different reason why the difference between a chotzer that's more than 4 amas or less than 4 amas, dalad amas taimi, if the chotzer is at least 4 amas in size, then sasayim of water could get absorbed in the ground. There's enough room for sasayim to get absorbed in the ground before it goes out to Rishas Rabin. Pachas midalad amas like taimi, but if it's less than 4 amas, there's not going to be enough room for it to get absorbed before it flows out into Rishas Rabin. So the Gemara says, "My binayu." What's the practical difference between Rabba's and Reb Zera's explanations? Omar Abaya, orich v'kotin ikke binayu. The nafkamina between them would be: what if the chotzer is not square? What if it's longer and skinnier? Which means, in other words, let's say it's 8 by 2. So it's 16 square amas, which is it's the same amount of land as you would have in a 4 by 4 chotzer. But on the other hand, it's not the kind of chotzer where you would do any kind of tashmish choshuv. So according to Rabba's explanation, you still need an uka because you don't want the water to be over there and help lay down the dust. It's anyway not the kind of chotzer you're really going to be using very much. Therefore, you want it to go out into Rishas Rabim. According to Reb Zera's explanation, that's a matter of how much space do you have for the water to get absorbed. Good, it can get absorbed in 8 by 2, just as it could in 4 by 4. Rashi, by the way, also stresses we shouldn't think orich v'kotin means that maybe that one of them says that it only needs to be 4 amas in one dimension and not the other, because then you still have to know, well, how much does it have to be? Could it be 4 amas by an inch? So no, it means both of them would agree that it has to be, both of them would agree that it has to be 16 square amas, but one of them would say that it has to be not only 16 square amas, but there has to be room in there for a 4 by 4 square. And the other one says, as long as you have 16 square amas, I don't care what the actual shape is. Yeah, because it gets absorbed, right? Okay. So the Gemara says, Tanan, let's look at our Mishnah and see which one it fits with better. Chotzer v'achsadra mitzdar from the dalad amas. We said that if you have a chotzer and there's an achsadra, it sounds like we're talking about the achsadra is outside the chotzer. Rashi actually says k'neged echad min ha-maktsoyis, that it's maybe even at a corner of the chotzer. It's not even directly in front of the chotzer. It's like attached to it at a corner. And we said mitzdar from the dalad amas. It combines together for the 4 amas. So b'shleimel at abzera nicha. So according to abzera, that all you need is an area of 16 square amas. So good nicha. So it doesn't matter. Even though the achsadra is only touching the chotzer at the corner, it's still part of it. El or Rabba Kasha, but according to Rabba, it would be a Kasha because according to him, you need to have a square 4 by 4. The answer is Tirgum and Reb Zera, Alib de Rabba. Reb Zera answers that Rabba would explain Achsadra Mahaleches al Pnei Kola Chotzer. We're talking about the Achsadra is in front of the entire Chotzer. So let's say you have the Chotzer itself is only 3 by 4 amas, and then you have next to it, there's an Achsadra which is 1 by 4 amas. So together, they make up 4 by 4. An achsadra is sort of like a porch, but sometimes an achsadra actually had walls on 3 sides and then it was open on the 4th side. It's open to the chotzer. Sometimes it was actually that there were just pillars in the corners and then a roof on top. Yeah. Okay. Toshma, chotzer she'en ba dalad amas al dalad amas. Brisa says that a chotzer which is not 4 by 4 amas, ein shofchem l'socha mayim b'Shabbos, you cannot pour into it on Shabbos. Now, dalad al dalad, the Mishnah just said dalad amas, so you can understand that it means fine, that you need an area of 16 square amas. But dalad amas al dalad amas clearly means a square 4 by 4. So if it's not that, ein shofchem l'socha mayim b'Shabbos, then you can't pour water into it on Shabbos. B'shleim el rabba nicha. So according to Rabba, that's good. You have to have a square 4 by 4. El or Reb Zera Kasha, but according to Reb Zera, how do you understand that? Why does it have to specify Dalad al Dalad? The answer is, Amalach Reb Zera, Homani Rabbanan. That Brisa would be according to the Rabbanan, where the Rabbanan said it's not a matter of how much space you need for the water to get absorbed. Because after all, the Chachamim said in the Mishnah, in connection with the Biv, in connection with the channel, that no matter how long it is, you can't pour water directly into the Biv. You have to pour it onto the roof and let it drain down into the Biv. So we see the Chachamim don't care about the question of how long it takes to get absorbed. Their point is, like Rabba's explanation of Ziluf, that you want the water to get absorbed in this area in order to keep the dust down. So when you make a Biv, that's not the kind of place where you care to keep the dust down. So there, you're showing that you're not doing it because of Ziluf, and therefore you have the problem that it looks like you're pouring it directly into Shasrabin. as opposed to Reb Zera says, Umasnisin, Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, on the first part of our Mishnah, which talks about the four Amos, about the Chatzar of four Amos, is according to Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, who says that's a matter of how far can the water go before it gets absorbed. That's why he said that as long as the Biv is covered for the first four Amos, then you're allowed to pour water into it, because the water can get absorbed in those four Amos. So we see he holds of the concept of absorption, which is what Reb Zera is saying. So therefore, so the Mishnah is not a contradiction. So the Braisa, rather, is not a contradiction, because that's according to the Shitta of the Chachamim. They would require four by four Amos. Reb Elazar ben Yaakov and Reb Zera are only requiring a length of four Amos. Okay, so an area of 16. So the question is, what forces Reb Zera to say that the first part of the Mishnah is like Reb Elazar ben Yaakov? Wouldn't it be more straightforward to assume that the first part of the Mishnah is according to everybody, and only later, in the case of the Biv, does Reb Elazar ben Yaakov? Remember, we have two cases in the Mishnah, one involving the Ukka, one involving the Biv. Why is Reb Zera assuming that Reb Elazar ben Yaakov would argue in both of them, and therefore that the ratio of the Mishnah is only according to about the Ukka is only according to Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, and then in the Sefer about the Biv you have a machlokas, why don't you assume the first part of it is according to everybody? A biv is a channel. So Rava says the reason is because Reb Zera found the wording of the Mishnah difficult. If we were to say it's according to the Chachamim, my iryadatoni chotzer shehi pchusa. Why does the Mishnah use the expression a chotzer which is lacking? Listening chotzer shein b'dalad amos al dalad amos. The Mishnah could have just said a chotzer which is not four by four amos, and then it would mean clearly, like Rava says, that it has to be four by four square. The fact that it uses pchusa midalad amos implies it has the area of four amos by four amos. It's just not in the right shape. And the Mishnah is still saying that. And the Mishnah is still saying that if it has the 16 square amos, then I'm gonna mute you if you don't mind, Avraham Moshe, because there's a lot of background noise by you. If you want to ask a question, then unmute. So the point is, what is the Mishnah telling us? If the chotzer is pchusa, then you need an ukka, but if not, then you don't need an ukka. Now, what does the word p'chusa mean? Reb Zera says, Rava is explaining, Reb Zera would say the word p'chusa implies it has the proper area, it just doesn't have the shape. So there you go. Elalav shmamina de Reb Elazar ben Yaakov. Now, obviously, that can only work according to Reb Elazar ben Yaakov's understanding of the dinim, that it's a question of how much area does the water have to get absorbed before it flows out into the Shasar Abim. So there you go. Shmamina. So that shows, he says that the Reisha is according to Reb Elazar ben Yaakov on the grounds of that word p'chusa, because if it was meant to be, according to the Chachamim, and according to Rabbah's explanation, then the expression would have been chotzer she'ein bo dalet amos, like in the Braisa. Okay. No, we don't have to do that. But now we do. The problem is, v'homid is sefer Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, reisha lav Reb Elazar ben Yaakov. The problem with that is, in the sefer we have Reb Elazar ben Yaakov arguing, implying the reisha is not according to him. The answer is no. Well, usually you don't. Usually within one Mishnah, yeah. The answer is kula Reb Elazar ben Yaakov. You can answer the whole Mishnah is according to Reb Elazar ben Yaakov. V'chsuri mechsura. You can say the Mishnah is missing words. V'hochi katani. It means like this. If it's less than four amos, and again, according to Reb Zera, that would mean less, it doesn't have a square four by four in it. But, or no, that doesn't even have 16 square amos. So it's 15 square amos or less. Ein shevchin l'seichamayim b'Shabbos. You can't pour out your water into it on Shabbos. Ha dalet amos shevchin, implying that if it was at least 16 square amos, it has the area of 4x4 shevchin, then you could pour it. Sher Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, as we see, Reb Elazar ben Yaakov says in a similar case involving a channel, biva komur dalet amos b'Rosh Hashanah. As long as the channel is covered for the first four amos in Rosh Hashanah, shevchin l'seichamayim b'Shabbos, then you can pour water into it on Shabbos. Kamur means covered over, yeah. Actually, the Rambam uses the expression, it has to be like a curved covering, maybe in order to more distinguish it from the rest of the Shasarabim, I don't know, but in modern Hebrew, they do that. The Shodesh Kamar in modern Hebrew means a curve. Maybe some people don't. Yeah. Anyway, well, but it's right next to your chotzer, so right next to your chotzer. Yeah. Okay. So that's how Reb Zera would understand the Mishnah. You have the question Tosfos discusses on Amar Aleph. Who is that? No. So therefore he would say that the Rabbanon then later on in the Mishnah go and say we argue with Reb Elazar ben Yaakov. But the ratio of the Mishnah would be according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The middle of the Mishnah would also be according to him, continuing his shita, and then the Chachamim disagree with him. Who is the halacha like, the Chachamim or Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? So Tosfos discusses, and Amon Aleph and the Rashba and other Rishonim discuss. On the one hand, we often say Mishnah. We said before Mishnah Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Kavanaki. Whenever Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says something in the Mishnah, the halacha is usually like him. So it should be like that over here. On the other hand, Kav means a small amount. Kav means a small amount. Relatively speaking, you don't have that many dinim from Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov in the Mishnah, but whenever he says the halacha is like him. On the other hand, maybe that's not an absolute rule, and maybe over here only Rabbi Zeira is saying that the Mishnah is according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and Rabbah disagrees. So you have machlokes haposkim who the halacha is like. Okay. We said in the Mishnah Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov a biv hakomur that if this biv is covered over the first four amas in Rishas Rabbim, then you're allowed to pour water into it. So the Gemara says masnisim deloy kachananya. Our Mishnah then does not go like Chananya. The Tanya Chananya Omer afilu gana. We said in the Mishnah that the Chachamim say you can pour water on the roof and then it drains into the biv and then it goes from there. But Chananya is even more machmir. D'tanya Chananya Omer, afilu gag mea amah, even if the roof is 100 amas long, lo yishpach, you're not allowed to pour water over there. Lefi shein agag osi livloya ela lekaleach, because the roof is not meant to absorb, it's meant for the water to drain off. So therefore, according to Chananya, the other way around, you'd be allowed to pour the water in the chatzar, but you would not be allowed to pour it on the roof. So Tana, we learn in Braisa, b'med v'anam amur b'moisachama. When are all the dinim that we're talking about over here talking about in the summertime, when it's not raining? Avol b'moisach shomim, but during the wintertime, shofich v'shoyne v'ena nimna. You can pour as much as you want, and you don't have to hold back. My timer, what's the difference? Why is that? Omer Rabba, Adam Roitza Shi Bolo Maim Makoimon, because during the winter, the person just wants the water to get absorbed where he is. His chotzer is anyway all muddy, so he doesn't care if there's more water there to make it more muddy. So he just wants it to go over there and he doesn't care whether it goes into Rosh Hashanah. Abaya says, what about though? You're talking about, for example, dirty water. Now, one difference is also, when we talk about the water that goes to the uka versus to the biv, a difference is that there's water that's basically clean, but it's used like for negovaser, and then you have water which is actually dirty, like used for washing dishes or whatever. So shofchin are the second kind, a water that you actually want to pour out because it's dirty and disgusting, and you want to get rid of it. So that kind of thing, a person would want it to get absorbed in the channel. He wants it to get it right. V'katoni lo yishbach, and we're still saying he's not allowed to pour. So what's the difference? Amalei, so Rava answers him, hosam l'mayin nechushla, because the reason why in the winter I'm saying that it's allowed is because what's there to be concerned about? L'mayin nechushla. Are you going to say the problem is that he's concerned his chotzer is going to get ruined by the extra water? What do you mean? The chotzer is anyway all muddy. Is it because of a gzeira that people are going to think, look, they see this guy's pipe or channel or whatever, water is pouring out from it. So he obviously must have poured the water directly by the edge of his chotzer, because he doesn't really want this dirty water in his chotzer. He's pouring it as close to the edge as possible in order for it to go out into Rishas Rabim. Doesn't matter. During the wintertime, anyway, all the pipes and all the channels are pouring out water because you have rain is falling regularly, and you have rain is coming off the roofs and off the chatzeres and off the everything. So therefore, there's no reason that people are going to think that he's actually doing something wrong. On the other hand, when it comes to be moisachama, so it has a shear, and you have the point, therefore, it could get absorbed within the first four amas, but you still have the problem shema yoimru, that people are going to see water coming out the other end, and they're going to jump to conclusions and think that he poured it close to the edge of his chotzer, so it should go directly out into Shadam. So therefore, Rava says that's the difference between the summertime and the wintertime. Okay. We'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem.
Question.
Yeah.
Technically, the halacha should be that we do a melacha. It's not about what people think. It's about a melacha that we're not allowed to do. So how can we base things?
because many times we do have to consider what people will think. And that's the whole concept of Marisayan. Either that people are going to think that he's over on the Isser, in this case of transferring something from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, or that people may think that it's mutter to do that altogether. That's, we have Marisayan as a regular thing throughout Shas. So here because of Marisayan, so we have the different opinions, what exactly you're allowed and not allowed.
Okay, so if that is the case, then if he is totally private, he should be allowed to do it.
We have a rule that we learned in Masech the Shabbos called Davashu, also Mishum Maris Ayin. Anything where the Chacham said you're not allowed to do it because of Maris Ayin, Afilu B'chadre Chadorim also, you're not even allowed to do that thing in private. So that would apply over here also. Now that I think of it, I think there are Rishonim who say that maybe that doesn't apply to things that are banon. But fine, the fact is here ultimately we're talking about a Din D'Oraisa over here, transferring from one Rishus to another. So he wouldn't be allowed to do it in that case either. Again, in the case of the only slightly dirty water, where sometimes he wants it in order to stay in his chotzer, in order to keep down the dust, then you need an ukka for it if the chotzer is too small. And then you have the actual dirty water. For that, you use a biv. For that, you use a pipe or a channel or something that flows out to the shadam.
Yeah.
So according to